Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Entertainment Now podcast. My name is Nick.
I'm Ian.
And
And
I'm Amy.
we're joined by Mandy.
Yep.
This is the first time since we've been doing this podcast that you've been on the show with us, Mandy.
Yep.
So welcome.
About
Thanks.
time.
Yeah, I know. It only took me like a year to get her to do the podcast with us.
Wow.
Like always, if you're
I got
what's
other
that?
stuff. Nothing.
What'd you say?
But it's Friday nights. I have other stuff to do.
Yeah.
That's right.
What wants to hang out with us, Nick?
I know.
Yeah,
I know. But like always, if you're watching this on YouTube, give us the old thumbs up and hit the subscribe button, all the YouTube-y kind of stuff, because eventually the episodes will be up on YouTube. I'm kind of
know.
behind right now, but I'll eventually have
Terrible. Terrible.
I know I'm a slacker.
Slacker.
What's been going on? Either one of you?
Nothing.
Nothing? Nothing to
Nothing.
talk about. Nothing at all.
No. I'm just gonna sit here and stare at the screen.
So, I have a little game for us to play. All right. So, I found this video on YouTube, and this is kind of fun. It's a 5 second song quiz. So, it's going to play 5 seconds of a song. It's like the guitar riff from the song. And you have to guess what song it is. All right. I'll pause it though, and I will say that some Mandy, Ian, you won't get some of these either. Some of them are fucking hard. Like I didn't even know some of these. The way this started was I was scrolling through Instagram, and there was an Instagram reel video of it, and I wanted to use the Instagram reel because I liked the songs that she had on hers, but I didn't want to have her talking, and plus it was like right after there was no like gap in between the songs. It was like one after another, so you had like literally like 2 seconds to figure out what it was. Which I didn't think was enough time, especially was doing this over Zoom. I don't know if there's gonna be any kind of delay. So, I found a video, a similar video on YouTube. It's 20 songs. Tell me if it's too quiet though, okay? And I'll pause it to give us a couple extra
Wait,
seconds.
wait. So are we just like shouting out the answers or what?
Yeah. So it's gonna play 5 seconds, and then there'll be like a gap, and I'll pause it, and then you guys can just guess what song it is. Okay, some of them are really obvious, some of them, like I said, are like completely impossible. I'm having all sorts of audio issues here.
I'm gonna say it's user error,
Well,
but okay.
it turned my headphones off and then turned them back on so you guys can hear see the video then.
Yes, so we
All
could
right.
hear it.
Can you hear it now? All
Yes.
right.
Is it gonna show us who it is too?
No.
Sweet child of mine.
That's a pretty easy one.
Yeah, that was super easy.
I don't hear it anymore.
Pause it. It goes in, it plays a little song afterwards.
Back in black.
Was an easy one too.
That
is really weird.
Is it? With
Yeah,
the little
that just
guitar.
went
Yeah,
off.
You want to say it,
know what it is?
Mandy? She said it,
I don't
living
know
in a
where. We
prison.
said it 4 times.
Oh, I didn't hear you say
Oh, no, we were wrong because it was,
That's
yeah.
fine.
What'd you guys say?
We said living on a prayer.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully these are short enough I don't get flagged on YouTube. He's gonna get a whole lot of copyright strikes.
Well,
Any
I don't know
clue?
that one. No,
I
that
didn't
one
know that.
doesn't.
I don't think I knew this one either.
Solid
Yeah, Stone
sinner,
Roses.
you're my world. No, didn't recognize that one. It
Any
seems like one I
guesses?
should know. No.
Nah. You would know that one. Like I said, some of them are hard. This one's easy.
Obviously, smells like Teen Spirit.
By the way, the drum beat is from a 70s disco song.
Yeah,
Real easy.
I'll
give you a couple extra seconds. Mandy, come on. You know this one.
I know, but it's not coming.
I keep wanting to say something. Roll Over Beethoven.
Nope.
No, it's not. I keep trying to say the reindeer one. Run, run, Rudolph.
That's the right musician.
I know that. It's just the Christmas version.
Right.
You're going to kick yourself.
Johnny be good. All
right.
God, Ian hates a song.
Yes, I do. You want me to say it? Hotel California.
Yeah, I love it.
Ugh.
Great guitar.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
You want to say it, Mandy?
Right?
Yeah. Eddie Van Halen on guitar.
Yep. Good old Beat It.
Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody.
The sad thing is, I couldn't think of the name of the damn song while I was watching this the first time.
Really?
I knew what song it was, obviously.
Seven Nation Army.
That was an easy one to also. Yeah. Like I said, some of them are fucking hard, though. Like the Muse song, I didn't know it.
I haven't listened to Dom in a while. I need to listen to that.
Yeah. This was a hard one also.
Sounds like the Stones, but I can't pick the song.
It was a hard one.
Status quo. Sounds like the Stones.
Easy one.
Yeah.
Anyone?
Walk This Way?
Yeah. Long gap. We're at number 14.
Oh, this is Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow.
Yeah. Good song. Probably the only Rainbow song I know.
You know Street of Dreams, too. Well, and Hush. Are you to go my way?
So far, there's only, what, three you got? Haven't gotten?
And one of them, we both got wrong.
That's right. Anyone?
Highway to Hell.
No. Christ. I forgot.
Anyone?
I know who it is, but...
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Oh, I didn't know the band. I didn't know the band name, but I knew the song.
And I will say, Mandy, that like it sounds really similar to Highway to Hell, the beginning part.
Oh, it does. It's
so I definitely get why you said that.
I've heard that song before, but I have no idea.
It's another really hard one. Oh, I didn't get that one either.
I want to be an American idiot.
Yeah.
I don't want to be an American idiot.
Don't want to be an American idiot.
Part of the MAGA agenda. Nothing?
No,
I've heard it before.
Sweet.
Nope.
Last one.
Oh, Jesus. I know this one too, but I can't pick. Oh.
Ian, be bad at a music trivia game.
Would I? Would I really? I've beaten you at like most of the trivia games that we've played.
This was an easy one.
Not really. I'm not a big AC/DC fan.
No,
I think I pointed that out to you many times. I think they're a glorified bar band.
I mean, they're something.
I mean, they got some good songs, but they're still just a glorified bar band.
Yeah.
So,
well, that was my little game.
Oh,
I thought it'd be kind of fun to play for a few minutes.
I would like it if it wasn't just guitar riffs. If it was just
open right, songs. I was gonna say. Yeah. I'm sure they probably have versions that are a bit more, you know, with more pop music and stuff like that.
Oh, there are. It was just
those I wouldn't get at all. I mean, for the most part, it wouldn't be something I would be able to catch. Some of it I would. Yeah, like if, you know, some of them I could probably get, but the vast majority of them I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. There was what was a trivia game we used to go play every once in a while, Mady? Do you remember?
We lived in Tennessee.
No, oh. When we lived in Tennessee.
Oh, that my mom and I go play?
Yeah, that was like a pop culture one.
It was
that
just was trivia cool. Night is what it was called.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Coconut Cafe or something. Is that what it
was? Yeah, called? I think that's where it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, we were always terrible at it, but it was fun.
Well, some of those trivia nights they take very seriously, so those questions are like deep dives even by my standards. You know?
These were fun. I liked these. They were things that you could actually get.
Yeah. Well, because we used to go play the one in, what was the place in Depot Town? Aubrey's, who we'd go to. Aubrey's had trivia night. We went to that a couple of times. And that was, what's up?
I used to go with John and Kate and my friends all the time.
Yeah, I remember going a couple of times with you. I felt like it was more serious, though.
Nick, she said she went with her friends.
touche. But I don't know. That's not what we came to talk about. We came to talk about the Barbie movie. That's mm-hmm. That's why I decided to invite my wife to the show, because I wanted to talk about the Barbie movie, because I thought the Barbie movie kind of got shafted. And my wife didn't get shafted.
Just the actor and the director got shafted.
That's true. And between the three of us, my wife is the only one who has seen it. I've read a lot of reviews on it, though.
She does also happen to be the only one with 2X chromosomes.
I don't know why that's relevant at all, but...
Well, okay. Because the reason people think he got snubbed was because of the patriarchy.
I mean, it's kind of what... I mean, there's themes of that through the movie.
Correct.
And then... Ryan Gosling is like the only one that gets nominated for an Academy Award.
It got like 9 nominations. It's not just him, but
it did. But Ken got a nomination, but Barbie did not. Correct. Even though, you know, everything I've read said Margot Robbie did an incredible job in the movie.
She did.
Well, you could see that just even from the trailers and stuff that, you know, she owned the character.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think it did. I think that, I mean, I'm not saying that Margot Robbie should have won. I'm not even sure who else is up for leading actress. Let me look real quick. Best actress. You got Annette Bening, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Huller. Is that how you say her last name? Mm. She's from Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan and Emma Stone, which I think... They're good actresses, but I don't know why.
So here's the thing. I mean, I guess you couldn't argue that it's a patriarchy thing, at least with Margot Robbie, because she didn't get nominated in the best female part. You know, it's like there. It's not like she was left out of a category and it was all men.
Yeah.
You could probably argue that with best director, because, you know, there are not nowhere near as many female directors as are male directors. So it's already a small pool to pull from. So could that technically be a patriarchy thing, perhaps?
Well, I say the patriarchy thing because Ryan Gosling got nominated, but she did not. You get two. Obviously, she's the lead. She's the lead of the movie, but he's the co-lead.
Right.
You know, I mean, unless I'm wrong, Mandy. I mean.
I guess, yeah.
And he, what's up?
I was going to say, if it's as much his story as it is hers, to that degree, yeah. Like, he's her sidekick kind of a thing. That's kind of how I would have, if someone, having not seen it, if someone said, hey, what do you think Ken's role in the movie is? I would be like, Barbie sidekick. You know, that's kind of how I would describe it. But like I said, I haven't seen it, so.
Yeah. And like I said, going back to what I was saying, though, is that's not, I don't think, I'm not trying to say that I think she necessarily deserves to win. But I think she at least deserves to be nominated, which I'm sure there's other movies out there also. I just think it's kind of ironic that the Barbie movie that has these themes of feminism, these themes of the patriarchy and all that stuff, kind of has that happen. And even Ryan Gosling came out and said, that
he's going to.
Yeah, I mean, well, of course he's going to stick up for his co-star.
Correct.
And so, rightfully so.
I mean, like I said, I haven't seen the movie. I will at some point or another. But it was mentioned that perhaps the movie takes its themes to a point that are like not necessarily entirely honest. Specifically, there's a scene where she runs into the boardroom of Mattel and there's like 12 men. But if you look at the board for Mattel, it's 5 women and 7 men. There's, you know, you're it, the movie inflated the patriarchy thing, not to say that it doesn't exist, but the movie inflated that. And I think because of the strong themes of the film, people are going to take these things to a much higher level than they need to be. Like I said, if there was no Best Actor, Best Actress award, and she was snubbed there, it was just like a straight award, then yeah, absolutely, 100%. But I haven't seen any of those other actresses' movies either. So maybe their performances were better.
That's what I was thinking. It's just,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon is a fantastic movie. I've not watched all of it. I've watched about 3/4 of it. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard for me to sit down.
Imagine it's long too. It is.
Yeah. It's hard for me to sit down and watch a full movie. I typically watch movies during like my breaks at work, but I'm almost through that. That's a really good movie. Anatomy of a Fall, I haven't seen it, but I read a bunch of reviews on it. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with who they nominated. I just think it's, there's kind of a
weird surface irony to it for sure.
Yeah,
but I think it's there's nothing there. It's just people making a big deal or trying to make a big deal out of something that isn't something because of what it is, because of what, you know, Barbie was. So that's my impression of it. It's going to be one of those things that's going to come and go. No one will mention it until like 50 years from now when they're doing the 150th, Oscars, and, you know, the best pictures going to, Apple movie, which is literally about an Apple phone, like an iPhone. It's like the iPhone, the movie, you know, and the AI that wrote it will get snubbed because it had a feminine voice instead of a masculine voice. And then there'll be a big deal about that too. So
that's the other thing. I was going to look and see who got nominated for best director.
That would be a better indicator. I think that might be an issue, but because it was, I think it was the only $1 billion movie this year, wasn't it? Well, and Oppenheimer.
It was.
So if you're the director of that movie and you didn't get some kind of nomination or some kind of nod, that's a little.
Yeah. I mean, Christopher Nolan got nominated for Oppenheimer. I mean, right. And Oppenheimer, I mean, maybe you've seen it. I have not yet. For everything I've read about it, it's an incredible movie. One of the best movies of the last decade.
Yeah. Well, Christopher Nolan hasn't made a bad movie yet. So, to my knowledge,
yeah,
that I've seen, I think I've seen all of his movies.
Yeah, and you can't really say it's there was one female that was nominated for best director this year.
Okay,
it wasn't Greta Gerwig, but right. It was Justine Triet. I think that's how you say her last name
for Anatomy
of a Fall.
I'm not even familiar with that movie. That's kind of the problem with the Oscars in general. It's like,
it's a French legal drama thriller
that nobody fucking saw. that's my point. It's like,
yeah,
you know, that's to me, that's more of a travesty than anything, because Barbie was essentially a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
And whether or not you could say Oppenheimer was, because I feel like it kind of went along with the Barbie phenomenon. At least people saw those fucking movies.
Yeah, I mean, of the five that were nominated, that's the only one I'm not like I've heard of Anatomy of a Fall. Like I said, I've read reviews about it, but I've not
I
seen the
wasn't familiar
movie.
with it.
But Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese got nominated for that.
Okay.
Christopher Nolan got nominated for Oppenheimer. Yorgos, whatever your last name is, was nominated for Poor Things. I can't say your last name. Lanthimos, who knows? And then Jonathan Glazer was nominated for The Zone of Interest.
So Poor Things, I've only recently become familiar with. It's the Emma Stone film, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
It's got
I
Mark
didn't.
Ruffalo's in it also. Willem
Okay.
Dafoe is in there.
Well, it just bothers me that some of these, you know, to me, that's the bigger travesty. Yes, I honestly, Christopher Nolan in there, because his movie did $1 billion too.
Yeah.
And I know money doesn't guarantee quality because,
yeah.
you know, let's face it, half the Transformers movies made $1 billion and they're garbage.
Pretty much. The first two were okay.
Yeah, the first one was okay. The second one was, I mean, my eyes didn't bleed watching the second one, but they did with the third one.
And the seventh one?
I stopped watching after the third one. So, but I know the dollar amount doesn't necessarily equate to a good quality film.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with having some of those artsy films in there because they deserve to be recognized for what they are, which, you know, is, you know, Oscars are supposed to be adhering to that art form. But, you know, sometimes I feel like they go out of their way to pick obscure, like,
well, they always kind of have
pretentious art movies. I know, but
yeah.
The Pianist or whatever that won that one year? Won a bunch of awards that one year.
It did, but people actually was familiar with that one.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's the one that was like
I
artsy
feel like,
kind of films.
Yeah, I feel like it started to go downhill more in like in say the last 10 or 15 years. But for example, The Artist won Best Picture. Did you ever see The Artist?
Maybe that was the one I was thinking of. Not the Pianist.
It's black and white, which is fine, but it's a silent film.
I mean, yeah, those
it's
one
about
I was
the
of.
Silent era, silent film era, but the film is silent. It's actually a really good movie, but no one fucking saw it. It was a silent film about silent films. it doesn't make sense. So, like I said, it's a good movie. I enjoyed watching it. It was fun to watch.
Yeah,
but nobody fucking saw it.
Yeah, it's not 1917. No one's gonna go see that movie.
Right. Nobody did. And nobody saw it after the fact. I mean, it would rent here and there, but when I was at
you
the
always,
where I worked at
you
the
always get
store,
a little bit of an Oscar bump.
This one didn't. Because we had it. And we had all the Best Picture winners had their own section. Mm-hmm. So every year we would add one to that section.
Yeah.
And that one, I don't think rented very often. F at all.
Yeah, but I just think it's really weird that you have this hugely popular movie. It was in widespread acclaim. I never saw a bad review for Barbie.
Well, nothing that wasn't like
people burning Barbies and shit like that.
Like
yeah.
politically motivated,
yes.
criticisms.
So you have this movie that does over $1 billion. Hugely popular, is released to absolute rave reviews across the board. And then you have the star of the movie not at least get nominated.
Right.
Is really kind of fucking strange.
Yeah.
I mean,
like I said, I just don't, I don't know if there's anything.
And I'm not saying, like I said,
it's not,
like
I don't think it's like it was intentional. Like, oh, we can't have her because, well, you know, women power, you know, the vaginas are coming. I don't know. But, like I said, I'm not so bothered by that. I'm bothered more by the director not getting a nomination because that
I think
seems
they both
to me
showed
like,
off, but
yeah. I guess I'd have to see it to see how good Ryan Gosling is in it. You know,
maybe
he's good in everything. So,
well, I think The Notebook is garbage, but I don't think he has anything to do with that.
Notebook's a good movie.
That's
if Mandy could have, I think laser beams would come out of her eyes through my screen. I'm sorry, and this is going to sound sexist, but I think it's girly drama.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's obviously a romance movie, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good movie.
When you're writing, it's like someone who sits down to write a story like that. They're like, let's think of the most traumatic thing that we could put someone through and build a love story around it.
That's called Twilight, Ian. That's called Twilight.
I've got my opinions about that too. But that's got a whole bunch of Mormon stuff in it too.
That's what that is. That's everyone's story.
It is to a point. But most people's lives are not that dramatic. I mean, even when they deal with those situations, the drama is, it's more internalized. I know you're telling a story, so there it has to be externalized, but I don't know. The Notebook isn't the worst offender. It's probably one of the better quality ones out there that are like that, but it's this, it feels like some of these movies have almost a paint by numbers style to them, where you're almost expecting to see, maybe even subliminally, it's like cry now flashing on the screen right when you're supposed to cry. And it's just kind of, it walks you through all these emotions without letting you feel the emotions naturally.
There are movies like that out there. There's a lot of them like that. The Notebook is not one of them.
And maybe it's not. Maybe I'm being slightly overly critical because I just really didn't like the movie.
And I think that's one thing.
Lumping it in with that, but
that's the one thing I think I really liked about it was the fact that it wasn't like all the other, there's so many like romantic comedies and shit out there where you're right. It is like, you know exactly what is coming up.
It's beat by beat. You know, this is the part where everyone's going to cry. This is the part where all the girls are going to go, oh, it's like I said, it's like paint by numbers. Now I watched the last week. I watched, A Man Called Otto with Tom Hanks.
Great movie.
Yeah. The last half of that movie was nothing but me sobbing like a little woman. I mean, I was just like, oh my God. I had Kleenex and everything. The last half of that fucking movie. That's natural emotion. That's, the movie is not like guiding you there. It's allowing you to come to those emotions naturally.
Have you seen that yet, Mandy?
I've tried to start it like 3 times and I don't get very far.
Yeah.
I guess really it kind of does start a little slow, but
it does start slow.
You know, I think because it's setting it up to kind of give you an idea that, in a sense, it's trying to make you think differently of him than he actually is. You're trying to, you're almost thinking of him as like this grouchy, grumpy,
because he is
old man. He is, but he isn't though, really.
Yeah,
he's actually a big softy, and that's, you know. And once you find out why he's a big softie and why, and technically why he's
Ian likes big softies.
I'm telling you, man, I don't think there's been movies that have made me tear up, but I have never, I mean, I was like sobbing through that whole last half of that movie.
Yeah.
So, no, puffy eyes really, and everything.
It's a really good movie. I thought that was probably one of the best movies that Tom Hanks has done in a long time.
Yeah, probably. Especially, so if you can, Mandy, you need to try and get through the rest of
all
it.
All right.
So if you can. So what did you think of Barbie, though? I mean, since that's kind of what we're talking about. I mean, what was your opinion on it?
I liked it. I totally didn't expect it to be what it was. In my mind, I just thought it was going to be like Barbie on screen. And we were watching Barbie and dancing and just like a Barbie show. I didn't realize there was like a whole theme behind it. But I thought it was neat because it was neat to take you behind the scenes of like Mattel and like, you know, they show you the real lady who created it. She's in the movie and everything. And I don't know. I liked it. It was entertaining.
Did you feel that the theme, since you didn't know there was be a theme, you were kind of just going in kind of blind on that. Mm-hmm. Did you feel that the movie was pushing an agenda, or do you feel that it was just kind of naturally with the fact that this is a female character in a modern day setting, seeing these, you know, the potential for patriarchy and all that.
There was definitely a message. Like that was obvious. Like, I don't know.
I've said this to Nick a lot of times. I personally think that when there's TV shows or movies that have an agenda, the best thing for them to do is not talk about the agenda. Just show it. Don't tell.
And the reviews I've read about it, it sounds like that's what it is. Like, you don't go into it like, oh, this is what they're trying to push. Right. It just, as you're watching, you're like, oh, well, this makes sense.
Right.
Yes. Oh, okay.
A lot of that, that like when she would do something or something would relate to Ken and you're like, oh yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That's true. I never thought of it like that. Or, yeah. You know.
Okay.
So it's not out in your face.
Right. Cause that, to be completely honest, that's probably what's held me up for watching it so far. It was like, I know what the movie's trying to say, but I want them to show me. I don't need them to tell me.
Yeah.
And that's what I was afraid of. I was afraid as I'm going there, it's just going to be basically a 2-hour lecture. And no, that's not what I need. Other people might need that, but that's not what I need. And that's what I don't think it works. Cause people,
the message doesn't seem to be telecasted. It's more naturally woven through the movie. If that makes sense.
Okay. Well, that's good. Cause like I said, it's, you know, I think throughout the history of film and television, the best stories that have had a message have gotten that message across by showing it and then not saying anything about it, just showing it.
Yeah.
You know, Twilight Zone was big for that. Star Trek was big for that. Showing you the what you need to know rather than telling you, because most people don't want to be told anything, especially nowadays.
That's why I felt like a lot of the hate didn't make sense for the Barbie movie, because you had like all these talking heads on TV and on online. I got a cat attacking me, but you gotta go. Bye, Mandy.
Thanks for coming, Mandy.
Mandy has to go pick up our daughter from work.
Okay. yeah, definitely do that. I don't want her hanging out in the
cold. She'll be blowing my phone up here in a minute.
All right.
Bye, Mandy.
Bye. See you later.
But yeah, that's the thing that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because you had all these talking heads kind of going crazy about the forced feminism and the patriarchy and all that stuff. And from everything I've read about it, everything I was told about the movie, it's not like, you know, it's not explicitly like thrown in your face in the movie. It just kind of more naturally evolves.
Right.
And then you're like, and you just kind of see it and you're like, oh, okay, that, well, that all just kind of makes sense.
Right. Still a little bothered by that whole, if that with the boardroom scene with it's where she walks in, it's all men, but it's not
because it's not. So about that scene, it's not necessarily about Mattel. It's about just generalized like boardrooms across the world.
Statistically speaking, though, women are making huge strides. They're 46% of most boardrooms are women. Where it's a problem is, and ironically, Bill Maher just did a thing on this. It's CEOs, huge discrepancy there. It's like 90% male.
Yeah.
At least that's what he said. I haven't looked up those numbers, but.
Which I believe the new CEO of Twitter is a female.
So she's in that 10% area, but that's still a very low number,
relatively
speaking. But as far as like members of boards, women have made huge strides.
Yes. But there's still a long fucking way to go.
Oh, of course. We're never going to get there ever.
But like I said, it wasn't necessarily something about Mattel. It was about the representation of how corporate America is.
Right. Well, my problem with corporate America is that it exists in the first fucking place, because it's, you know, sucks the life out of everything it touches. So.
Well, you can't, like, that's something that will always exist. Like,
yeah, but it didn't always exist, though.
You're right. Prior to us being a modern civilization, you're right. Mm-hmm. We didn't.
Well, we won't be for very long, so it's okay.
Without it, we go back to living in huts.
No, we weren't living in huts before corporations. We had houses and shit.
The Industrial Revolution was basically from corporations.
True, but we still had houses and stuff. And jobs and life.
Yeah. We shit in the streets and
exactly. See, let's make America great again, Nick.
Died of consumption and like.
Well, see, the thing is that we equate all that to having corporations, but.
Well, medical advances have nothing to do with corporations.
But. Exactly. Well, they do now, because that's, you know, they're run.
No,
by
they still don't. They still don't. Like, 98% of all medical advances happen from universities,
which are funded by corporations,
but they're still done by, I mean, they're still
Yeah.
Created through
all that research entities. All that money for research is coming from corporations. So
not all because U of M does a shitload of research that has nothing to do with corporations.
My point is that it's not so much the corporations, it's the fact that the corporations have nothing
rules or regulations.
Them. Rules and regulations. They are unfettered in their activities, and that is what causes the problems.
Yeah.
But as far as gender equality, we'll get there, but we're never going to be, it's always going to be a struggle just because that's human nature.
Yeah.
You know, I think the fact that we've made as many strides as we have is actually kind of surprising. And you're right, we have a long way to go, but you know, we can't also overinflate the scenarios that are hit, because if you're trying to get people to understand, especially people who don't understand or people who are going to fight against understanding, it kind of goes to the whole show don't tell, because people don't like to be told, and if they feel like they're being told, even if they're not, they're going to pull back from it. They're going to, even if they, you could win them over maybe, but you start talking to them, telling them rather than bringing them in, they're going to push back. And there's a whole percentage of this of just of the US population that's going to push back anyway,
on everything regardless of what you do.
So that's the only problem I would have with it. I could care less if she walked into that boardroom and it was just like wall-to-wall Harvey Weinstein's, because you know it probably is. And you know, she, instead of it being a scalpel message, it was like a blunt, you know, instrument kind of a message. It would be fine with me. It wouldn't bother me. I just know that people aren't going to buy it. They're not going to stick with it. And they're not going to listen to anything that you have to say, regardless of how accurate or true it is.
Yeah.
If you go about it like that. That's all. That was the only reason I wanted to clarify that, just because I didn't want people to think that I was like, well, if it's too feminist, then it has nothing to do with that. I'll watch it all day long and it could be too feminist. It's just, if it's too feminist, it's not gonna, I'm not the person they're trying to convince.
Yeah.
I'm already convinced.
So. And going back a little bit on what you said about the makeup of corporate boardrooms, globally, it's 20%. Women make up 20% of global boardrooms.
But I think the number he used, and like I said, I haven't looked up his numbers, so
I looked it up from the Harvard Law.
But I think it's what he said was new board members. So like in the last, say, few years, the 46% of all new board members coming in are women. But overall, yes, it might still just be 20%, which is higher than CEOs. But CEOs is, like I said, it's very bad. At least even he said that's like it's bad. So.
And that's really gotten, has gotten better also in the last probably decade, but
because
before 10 like or nothing. So years ago, it was nothing.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I wouldn't have even brought it up if this wasn't our topic, because I, without checking the numbers, but I just didn't have a chance because we literally just talked about it right before we started recording. So that's when I watched it. So
like I said, I don't think it was necessarily something like directly at Mattel, because Mattel is not that way, but it was more like
but Mattel is, it's still, it's not 50-50, 7-5, but you know, still
it was more like
Mattel isn't just Barbie, though, you know.
No,
I would say you'd have to have a balance there, because Mattel also has He-Man. You know, should it be an all-female board running He-Man? I don't know. Probably not, but maybe. Who knows? I don't really care. I don't, and none of that. I've never been one of those people who cares. Just whoever's right for the fucking job.
Yeah.
Fairly.
And that's not, unfortunately, that's not the way it works.
No, I know.
That's kind of what the movie was going at, was,
right.
was that there's not representation. Necessarily when there should be.
Right.
I don't know. Going back to my original whole statement on the whole damn thing was like, I don't think she should necessarily win, but I think she at least deserves a nomination.
Well, didn't she win like a Golden Globe or something? Or wasn't she nominated for a Golden Globe?
I think she was.
Yeah, and I'm sure when MTV still do their, not VMAs, but they're like People's Choice or whatever?
I don't think MTV does anymore, do they?
I don't know. But they, whenever they do like the People's Choice, and there's a bunch of different award shows.
Oh,
and
then, yeah, there's a shitload of different awards.
And then there's like the Kid Awards too. I'm sure Barbie's gonna win for the Kid Awards. She's gonna win awards for this movie. There's no question. Yeah. And she made a lot of money on it. So I'd be curious to see what her paycheck was relative to, say, Tom Cruise's paycheck in Top Gun. You know, that might be a better indicator of how the patriarchy's working. I don't care how long Tom Cruise has been in the business. His Mission Impossible lost money, so, and
go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
I was gonna say, you know, Tom Cruise is, he's gonna make money, but he doesn't always make a lot of money. So, you know,
she actually was not nominated for a Golden Globe.
Really? I think Golden Globes are kind of, is that the, that's kind of the shitty award anyway, but I was just throwing it out there.
It's kind of like, it's second behind the Oscars.
I think it's second behind the Emmys too. Because Emmys and Oscars are a TV movie.
Yeah.
The Golden Globes, kind of, I'm sorry.
I'm talking about in like rank of prestige.
Yeah.
Golden Globes are pretty high up there. Oh, I'm sorry. She was nominated.
Okay.
She was nominated for Best Performance in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Emma Stone won. Like I said, I'm not saying necessarily she deserves to win. I'm just saying I think she deserves to at least be nominated.
Right, but they can only nominate so many people, too. So,
yeah.
You know, it sounds like there was a nice field of quality actresses in the running.
Yeah.
But and like I said, you could very well be right. If I was going to look at that situation overall, I would be looking at that Best Director nomination over her nomination for sure.
Yeah, especially like I said, when you've got new movies up there that aren't all that popular.
Right. You know.
So I mean, yeah, I don't know what Anatomy of a Fall did globally. I'm sure it,
right. Well, and again, we can't really point out.
Box office was 24.8 million. But like you said, that doesn't necessarily mean quality or not.
Right. It also doesn't necessarily mean that it shouldn't get nominated if it didn't make any money. It just means, my point is that when you're dealing with a lot of these movies, if nobody knows what they are, if nobody's seen this fucking movie, regardless of how much money it could have made if it was in theaters, it probably wasn't widely released. And chances are, you've got an academy who's looking at this movie and seeing a movie that the vast majority of people have not even seen. Yeah. And they're making their judgments, you know. It just seems odd to me. They should have a separate category, or have a separate multiple categories. They kind of already do. Best foreign film, but, you know, have an art film section or something. I don't know, but, you know, just best picture should be kind of reserved for pictures that people have fucking seen.
Yeah. That's, but like you said, it's not like an award based on popularity. It's not a popularity contest.
Right. But it's a film award. So it should be films are meant to be seen. Nobody's fucking seen some of these movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when you're making 20, worldwide box office of 24 million.
Worldwide. That's, you know, if it's one theater for every five states, maybe it's in 10 theaters in the United States. It's probably been in like 10 theaters in France.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where those movies tend to. And you said that one was a French film anyway, didn't you?
Yeah. It was first released at Cannes, and then it was released worldwide in August.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, if the movies. Maybe Cannes needs to come out with their own fucking awards. You know, I don't know. They do.
I mean, Cannes do. You know, Cannes does have their own.
But I meant like an entire award show where they can focus on just the arts.
Because no one will fucking watch it.
Yeah, I know.
No one's gonna watch that.
Well, award shows didn't used to be televised. We call them award shows because they're shown. But they do. There's tons of award ceremonies all over the world every year that nobody knows anything about.
Well, yeah, I mean, the half of a lot of the good categories on the on the Grammys aren't shown on TV.
Right, exactly.
It's only like the top, because there's about like 30, 32, 34 categories, I think, on the, or maybe even more than that on the Grammys. Because they've got
they've added all those
classical categories also. So, I mean, there's categories for like best packaging, album packaging, and things like that. But you only get like, I think there's 6 or 8 categories they show on TV for the Grammys.
Right. Which and I mean,
coming up this weekend also.
Not to mention the fact that there's just like, there's tons of other ceremonies out there in the world for all kinds of things that you never hear about and see, you know? So,
I think I feel like that's kind of the gripe I have with the Oscars every year is that's why there was the big backlash a couple of years ago about the underrepresentation for Black actors and actresses being nominated just in general.
Right.
Because the Oscars has this like stuffy old white guy kind of mentality that it always has.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, hey, we're just two cis white males talking. So I mean, there comes a limit to what, you know, how we can truly see what the problems are without, you know, from our perspective. Our perspective is different, is my point.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I just, like I said, I get what people are saying about the snub, but I think I consider the director snub worse than the actor snub.
Yeah. I was going to look real quick before we wrap this up to see. So she was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan won for Oppenheimer, which he's going to win for. He'll win the Oscar for anyway.
So. I hope so. I think
he deserves it.
Yeah, because he hasn't won one yet, has he?
Not
a best director.
Not off the top of my head.
I think he may have won a screenwriting one, but I don't think he's won a best director one.
Yeah.
Has Scorsese, though? Because this might be his last chance.
Martin Scorsese has, yes.
Yeah, because he's looking a little old.
Let's look and see. Well, what has he won? Christopher Nolan has won a Britannia Award.
Maybe a BAFTA or two. He is British, so.
He's been nominated. Oh, he was nominated original screenplay for Memento. I forgot about that.
Okay.
He was nominated for Inception for Best Picture, Best Screenplay. Dunkirk, he was nominated for Director and Best Picture. Lost all those. And then, of course, he was nominated for Oppenheimer. So he has not won an Academy Award.
So I think he's due. And I think it's one of those things where you want them to win because their body of work suggests that they should win. But you also want them to win based on a quality product.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't want Scorsese winning on... Well, he's a bad example, but Brian De Palma would be a better example. If he could win an Oscar for something he did in the 70s, like Carrie, or in the 80s with Dressed to Kill or something like that, but then he ended up winning for something not quite up to the standard, like Raising Cain, it would seem, although I really like that movie a lot, but you know.
Surprisingly enough, Martin Scorsese has been nominated for Raging Bull, Last Temptation of Christ, Goodfellas, Age of Innocence, Gangs of New York, The Aviator, The Departed, Hugo, Wolf of Wall Street, The Irishman, Killers of a Flower Moon. He's won once.
Really?
For The Departed. Was the only Academy Award he's ever won.
For Best Director.
Yeah.
That's for
anything. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So he's obviously won a bunch of he's won Golden Globes, he's won he's won a Grammy Award also. I didn't know that. He's won a bunch of Emmy Awards, he's won other stuff, but not an Academy Award.
Well, this year unfortunately will be Nolan's first his one award.
Yeah, Chris or Nolan's gonna win it this year. I would almost bet money on that one. And like I said, I think he deserves it also, but
did you hear Tarantino announce the title of his last movie?
No, what is it going to be?
It's called The Movie Critic.
Okay.
That's all I know, and Brad Pitt's cast in it.
I did know that. I think Brad Pitt talked about that in an interview I saw.
Yeah. So Brad Pitt's cast, I read it. It's called The Movie Critic. So it's either going to be a scathing look at the movie industry through the, you know, through a critic's perspective or about the critic, which I could see him doing because he's had a lot of issues with critics. But I don't know. I can't. I'm trying to think where he could fit in some like gun shooting and stuff in that story.
I will say that you have to remember that Quentin Tarantino was the guy that wrote From Dusk Till Dawn, and he wrote a character that drinks liquor off of a woman's foot, and then cast himself in that role. So it just says a lot about Quentin Tarantino right there.
Well, I guess if it were me, if I wrote a character that people are going to see as disgusting, perverted, because he's a rapist. The character's a rapist too.
Yeah.
Disgusting character. I would have a hard time trying to cast that role.
Yeah.
If I'm not directing it, especially to put that onto somebody else to have to cast, I could see Tarantino going, you know what? I wrote this character. This character's terrible. I'll play this character so no one else has to do it. I'll take the hit, basically, on that. That's how I've kind of always seen that. I don't necessarily think that he created that character, modeled on himself, and figured, well, I'm the only one who can play this character. So I never got that impression. I always felt that he did that. It was more like, you know, George Clooney's not going to play this character.
Yeah.
You know, Cheech Marin is not going to play this character. Which
makes me want to watch that movie now.
Right.
So apparently the lead in The Movie Critic is based on a real person.
Oh, okay.
That's what Quentin Tarantino said. So the character, so The Movie Critic works at a porno rag.
Oh.
So we'll see.
Interesting.
So one of Tarantino's jobs as a teen was restocking a pornography magazine vending machine, sidestepping the legality of that, as that is a job for a teen. Tarantino says he came to really appreciate the writing of the film critic for a porno rag he doesn't want to name.
Huh.
So it might be interesting.
Well, it's Tarantino. It's going to be interesting.
I didn't know. Like, is it like critics for like a critic for like adult films?
No, like Playboy and all that had like actual film reviews in it.
Did it? I guess, yeah. I never read the articles.
Well, I mean, the pictures only get you for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then you got to do something else to do while you're, yeah, you know,
find something else to do after that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with reading an article, you know.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's supposed to come out next year. 2025 is when it's supposed to come out. So,
yeah. So that's exciting. Did we miss a movie on our February thing, or am I mixing that up? Is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, is that March or February?
I think it's March.
Okay. There's two movies I'm going to be seeing in March. Okay.
Let's see real quick. I'm pretty sure it's March.
I think you're right.
It is. Frozen Empire comes out March 22nd.
Okay, cool.
So,
all righty.
You got some time still, but
yeah.
Oh, well, know.
I'm going to be seeing Dune in March too. So,
yeah, that'll be a good one also. But I don't know. Anything else to add, Ian?
No. Down with the patriarchy.
Or not, according to Ian.
No. I never said it wasn't. I was more about just, you know, if you've got a message, you can't shove it down people's throats because otherwise they're going to throw it back up at you.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't think that's what happens with the Barbie movie, but I don't know. Everyone listening out there, go watch it for yourself. And
absolutely. Make up your own mind.
Any questions or comments, you can email us at entnowpod@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. If you watch us on YouTube, give us the old thumbs up, all that YouTube-y kind of stuff. That's about it, man. Until next time.
Talk to y'all later.
Peace.
play my role, let me tell you about it. This shit right here, man, I'm proud about it. Only real niggas reside around me. Yo, lady, drop a guard around me. Dip like I know you can, bitch. Show me the ropes like we in the ring. Got you two cobras, you wanna hang. Shoulder to shoulder, them niggas basic. You know I won't lie. You know that I ain't for that fuck shit. You niggas aight, but I'm way better and she love it. Know that y'all sick as fuck. Here go this tissue, bro. We taking the dub, hoping you get you some. This hit like a pick me up. She taking my drugs. Know they see the sign. That's from down the side. Know they sick as fuck. Know they sick as fuck. Tell them get well soon. Tell them get well soon. Know you sick as fuck. Get well soon. Oh shit. Watch out, you the god, Billy Ocean. Right now, and I'm smiling in your face, bitch. With a gold smile, you should probably make placement. We mash at the party, they hate when we styling. Why hit out of the party?